They were measured, they were considered, and they took their time. But eventually on Friday, the Springboks, giving us their team for Sunday's Rugby World Cup clash against France in Paris. What a game that will be. Welcome back to the Inside Pass. My name is Lloyd Bernard, here in our Cape Town studios, joined once again by Herman Mostert. Morning, Herman.
Good morning, Lloyd.
How are we doing?
Great, thank you.
Good, good, good. And I suppose because over the last, you know, 6 years really of Jacques and Rassi, we've become so used to seeing teams announced early in the week. You know, the Box have an internal policy that for a weekend game, by Monday already, the squad would really know who's playing. They're all informed. And, you know, that gives them the kind of week to prepare. They like getting rid of the speculation in terms of what the media will say in terms of who will or won't play. They didn't do that this time. And it kind of suggests that, you know, they really, really needed to be sure about this one. You know, I don't think speculating here, but I don't think this was mind games. I don't think this was trying to throw France off. I really genuinely think it was Rassi and Jacques taking as much time as they possibly could to make sure that they got to the right decision. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, normally the players are informed on the Sunday before the weekend before whether they're going to play the next week or not. And from gauging from Rassi's talks in the week, he said that the players would only be informed on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it shows you that they weren't sure about what team to pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were a few selection conundrums, almost, you know, a lot of good choices that you can make, and that makes it tough. You know, it's not a scenario of you don't have the players to, you know, to tackle France. You know, you've got all the options, and it's just about getting the right options there. So we've seen Rassi put out a few tweets in the week where he was speculating on whether he should go eight forwards on the bench
or 4-4.
Yeah. And at the end they went the conventional route, which was probably a little bit surprising, but I think it's a good call at the end.
Yeah, I guess when you've got the depth that South African rugby has and that the Box have at that World Cup, you know, we said going into the tournament that they looked like the type of team that could put two very competitive starting 15s out onto a field. You know, if you had to imagine a second string or a Springbok B team, certainly in terms of the starting 15, you would imagine that that side could really exchange blows with anyone else in the competition as well. So they are blessed with quality options absolutely everywhere. And there were changes along the way. You know, if you think about the arrival of Andre Pollard at a relatively late stage in the tournament, Lucanio Am even later than that arriving at the tournament. So, yeah, certainly some tough decisions. The team is out. We'll go through it now very quickly and get into some of the main talking points. And there are a few, because there were one or two surprises, I would say. Not at fullback, Damian Willemse keeps his place there. 14, Kirtley Orange, 13, Jesse Creel, 12, Damian Delendi, 11, Cheslin Colby, 10, Marnie Lebok continues in the number 10 jersey being backed. And the big surprise in the back line was number 9, Kobus Reinach, where he dislodges Faf de Klerk, who moves to the bench. Let's just go through that back line to start with, Herman, and the two obvious selections there are Kobus Reinach and Marnie Lebok to talk about. I mean, let's start with Kobus Reinach. I mean, that was a surprise because Faf de Klerk, 2019 World Cup winner, you consider him the first choice Bok number 9 whenever he's fit. You know, he fits into the kind of Bok mold, good box kicking, and has been there and done it before. But Kobus Reinach is just playing such good rugby at the moment that he's almost played himself into a position where you can't ignore him any longer.
Yeah, I said earlier in the week, Reinach has been probably the most unluckiest of Springbok players in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, he's a very talented player, and I mentioned to you that I think he's a better player than Faf de Klerk. He brings more to the game. He's got a better X factor or more X factor, but I just didn't think they would pick him because Faf has been the guy that they've picked for the last 4 or 5 years now. So yeah. It's very strange to me that they've, maybe not very strange, but it's surprising that they've picked Reinach now. But you can clearly see from the fact that they picked Lebok and Reinach, you know, those two go better together for me. You know, both have a lot of attacking attributes to them. If they had gone the Faf de Klerk, Andre Pollard route, you would have expected them to maybe play a bit more of a traditional attritional type of Springbok game. So that shows me that they're going to try and score tries because they know, like we've discussed earlier in the week, if it's a 50-50 match, And it's a match that is decided on a penalty here and there. Those 50-50 calls aren't going to go South Africa's way. Not in front of 80,000 French, screaming French fans or whistling French fans. So I think for me, this selection makes a clear statement as to what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and score a few tries and get a lead and build a lead, and maybe later, when it, once they're in the lead later in the game, you can bring Faf and Andre on, and then they can sort of steer the game to the end. You know, they don't want to go into the final 10 minutes where they're either trailing by 1 point or leading by only 1 point, yeah, because then it's going to be tricky.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, when we were looking at it yesterday, we kind of thought of it as maybe potentially if you go Faf and Pollard and stay within touching distance and, you know, stay in the fight, and having a guy like Lubok on the bench to then come on and a Reinach on the bench to come on, and then, you know, having that option on the bench to score tries. But they've gone the other way. It looks now that the start is really important, you know, that they kind of, that first 40, you need to be ahead. And it says so much about the way the Box have evolved, because, you know, we don't say this often enough. Every time we see the Box playing attacking rugby, we think, oh, they're experimenting and doing something and trying something new to try and, you know, expand their attacking arsenal a bit. But here we are in a Rugby World Cup quarterfinal, and they've picked Reinach at 9 and Lubok at 10, which really does suggest that it's not going to be the 2019 mode of box kick, set piece, and defense, and, you know, kind of maul and kicking your goals, and then at the end of the game scoring a couple of tries. This looks like it's full of intent, full of attacking intent, full of running and enterprise, which is very exciting, and I think a very brave selection as well, given there would have been the temptation there to go with the tried and tested, surely, of backing what worked for you 4 years ago. Marnie Lubok is backed again, and we were speaking the other day, and also, I feel a brave call. I think Pollard would have been the safer call, but I think Lubok's the right call, in the sense that he's got the Box this far, and he's been playing so well, certainly ball in hand and distribution, and being the general that the Box need to kind of spark their backline attack. There will be concerns over the kicking tee, but would you agree that this was the right call to back Marnie for a game this big?
Yeah, especially with the way it looks like they're going to play now. If the fact that they picked Reinach means, for me, makes sense that they picked Lubok as well. And obviously Lubok has been the guy that has started the most tests in the last season. And he's played well. You know, he's just had, I don't think he's had a bad game for the Springboks. He's just had the odd game here and there where he hasn't kicked well to posts. So he, for me, deserves to start. And like we mentioned, like, they need to score tries. And with him there, I think they're probably more capable of doing that. You know, we were talking about starting well. I think the match against Ireland, the Springboks started really well, but they didn't cash in. And they didn't convert a lot of opportunities in the Irish 22. That cost them at the end, and I think they probably know that they can't afford to do that again. If they start the game, which I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, where they start the game and they actually physically rattle the French a bit, like they did the Irish, if you remember. I think the Ireland lost their first four lineouts as well. The Box were just smashing them back in tackles. Like, it was physically a really bruising encounter, and South Africa just didn't have points on the board for their dominance. And they're going to need to do that this weekend. And I think with Reinach and Lubok there, they've made the right intent, you know, the right choices that they've made. Could be, obviously, the risk obviously involved is if they don't build up a lead, you know, if they don't start well, you know, Faf de Klerk and Pollard, Andre Pollard, aren't really the two type of players that you want to bring on to try and chase a game. But I mean, obviously they're going flat out for it, and yeah, you know, you can't cover all the bases.
Yeah, I think it's nice to see them backing form and being flexible. You know, it's often been a leadership that's considered very, I wouldn't say rigid, but certainly very loyal. You know, since 2019, the guys who did the business in 2019, it was almost like in a cricket analogy, you had to lose your place in the team before someone else could come in. You had to play badly before, didn't matter how well the guy behind you was playing, and until you did something wrong, there was the feeling that, you know, you would hold on to your place. But this is nice to see, because I really do feel like the Reinach selection is down to pure form at the moment, and just how well he is playing. And, you know, I suppose largely the same with Marnie. I mean, if you take the kicking stuff, the goal-kicking problems that there have been away, he's been a guy who's been in some really, really sparkling form. So for the leadership to be able to move away from those tried and tested guys in a game this big, I think is a refreshing sign. If we move it to the pack, the major talking point is Dwayne Vermeulen, who's been picked at number 8. But if we go through that pack for you, Dwayne at 8, Peter Steftetoy 7, Sia Khaleesi 6, captain Franco Mostert 5, Eben Etzebeth, Frans Malherbe, Bongi Mbonambi, Steven Kitsoff. Nothing of major surprise or any surprise in that pack, outside of the fact that Dwayne starts ahead of Jasper Visser, who is not in the squad at all. Obvious why they've gone for Dwayne. It's a selection that makes perfect sense. Not necessarily a surprise that a guy of his stature will be picked to play in a game like this, but still very harsh on a guy like Jasper Visser, who's really improved and been a good member of the squad this tournament.
Yeah, look, Dwayne surely picked only because of his experience. You know, the SA Rugby made big mention of that in their press release that they sent out this morning, that this is the most experienced, if you look at cap-wise, the most experienced pack that the Boks have ever picked in a test match in their history. And obviously with Dwayne coming in, that he takes up a big chunk of all those caps, you know. So for me, very surprising that they now have gone the other route, not picking Jasper, because Jasper has played really well. And it's harsh on him because he doesn't now even feature on the bench, because obviously they went for that 5-3 split. So harsh on him, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad call. You know, Dwayne is a very experienced player, and it's almost a like-for-like replacement. You know, Jasper for me is just, he's younger. He can probably last a bit longer than Dwayne would, maybe. But yeah, look, I mean, it's not going to weaken the team.
Certainly not. No, I mean, Dwayne is Dwayne, and you will remember 2019 and that, you know, heroic defensive efforts on the goal line when England were bashing away, and Dwayne was, you know, huge in that final and has the pedigree and has done it all before. Probably wouldn't be surprised if this was just always going to be a selection they were going to make for a game like this. Probably going into the tournament, you would think Rassie and Jacques knew, let's keep Dwayne fit and keep him going throughout the pool stages. But when we get to that quarterfinal, you know, he might have been the first name on the team sheet for them, I think. You know, it's probably it's taking until Friday to be considered and measured and thoughtful and make sure that you've got everything right. Dwayne probably wasn't one of those selections keeping them up at night, even though to us it comes across as a talking point.
But it's just strange that they played Jasper against Ireland, though.
Yeah.
So something must have happened in that time for them to now change their minds. But, you know, they're very strategic, Rassie and Jacques. So, we, like you said, maybe he was the first guy named on the team sheet. So
wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But elsewhere, there are no real surprises in the pack.
Yeah, no. Largely consistent. If we go to the bench, as we said, 5-3, and we did suggest yesterday that could be a real option for them, especially given the arrival of Hendre Pollard. Yes. So if you wanted Pollard and Lubbock in the same 23, given the fact that they are generally, you know, probably could do a job elsewhere, Pollard the 12, Lubbock maybe at fullback or something, but really those are just fly-half specialists. So if you wanted them both in the 23, it made sense to open up another spot on the backline bench. So they've gone 5-3, 16 Dion Ferrie, 17 Oxenchair, 18 Vincent Koch, 19 Erge Sneyman, 20 Quagga Smith, 21 Faf de Klerk, 22 Hendre Pollard, 23 Willy Leroux. It's a hell of a backline bench. All three instrumental 2019 World Cup winners. Lots of experience in that backline off the bench with Faf, Hendre and Willy. And yeah, Dion Ferrie continues in his role as backup hooker. And like we were saying the other day, this is the type of game where you want Bongi to play as deep as he can, really. I mean, get to 70 minutes if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, when Dion comes on, the scrum is not going to be as potent as it would be with Bongi there. But Dion is obviously not the biggest of hookers. That's partly, I guess, the reason why he moved to flank later in his career. But yeah, look, I mean, it is what it is now. They've already made the choice. It was a pity that Malcolm Marx was injured. I mean, that's going to... If we don't end up winning this World Cup, then I think we can obviously look at that as a reason. Mm. So let's just hope Bongi doesn't break down early in the match. You know, then it could be some real problems. But yeah, look, I mean, Dion has done well. You know, his lineup throwing has been good. And he's very obviously very good elsewhere around the park. He moves around very easily and very good on over the ball on the ground as a poacher. It's just like I don't think that the scrum they'd be looking to get as much of an advantage at the scrum when he comes on. Yeah, but we'll see how it pans out. But also very surprised, well, not very surprised, but a little bit surprised that Trevor Nyakana is not on the bench and they've preferred Vincent Koch. I think that's probably maybe the other other point worth mentioning. Trevor's also done really well this tournament so far. So
it stood out to me as well, and almost to the point where you think, I wonder if there was a little niggle or something that we don't know about, because Trevor has been very impressive throughout. What's your take on Willy Leroux? I mean, a guy who continues to divide opinion the same way he did in 2019. Now 4 years later, you know, you're either a Willy ambassador, or you're thinking, what is this guy still doing in the team? That seems to be the kind of perception from the South African public. I mean, where do you stand on that? They obviously like him. I mean, 90-plus test matches now, and comes with a lot of experience, and certainly can spark things on attack, but is quite error-prone at times. Seems to be a high-risk kind of player. But coming on... you know, in the second half, in a game this big, I mean, would there be someone else in the squad you would have preferred to see in the number 23 jumper?
Not, I would have liked to see Grant Williams somewhere on that bench, or a Kanan Moody maybe. Kanan Moody can cover wing and he can cover center. I'm not sure if he can cover fullback. He probably would. Later on in his career become that versatile, but I'm not sure if they can throw him into that position now. I just think Kanan's probably got a bit more on attack than what Willy has, but then you run the risk of Damien getting injured, and who do you pick then at fullback, you know, if Willy isn't on the bench? So I think probably that's probably why they went that route, the safe route. Willy is very experienced. He's obviously a World Cup winner. He's played a lot of test matches. They do rate Willy very highly because Willy's a sort of the organizer in the back line, even though he doesn't play at fly off, but he's a great distributor, a great, like they often mention, he's one of the best try assist players in world rugby. So you can understand why they picked him. I just hope it's not one of those days where he makes a few silly errors, you know, where he drops balls or he misses a tackle here and there. You know, he is prone to making a few basic errors, which is very strange for me. It's still very strange for me because he's a very skillful player, but he, you know, he can make the odd silly error here and there. But let's hope his experience prevails when he comes on Sunday.
Is there any part of this team that concerns you? I mean, is there anything here? I mean, I'm just looking at the whole thing going, this is good. This is strong. I mean, this says all the right things in terms of how the Boks want to play. It's a team. It's a team full of intent. It's a team that backs form. There's a lot of attacking power in that back line, a lot of ability to, you know, kind of score tries out of nothing, turnover ball, and there's a lot of muscle in that pack. I mean, I can't really, certainly in the starting 15, find too many, you know, areas of concern. I don't know what you think.
Not really. I mean, obviously, we've discussed the hooker issue. If you know, if Dion comes on, they're probably not going to be looking to get some scrum dominance. So, like I mentioned, if Bongi goes down in the 10th minute, then they have problems because then Dion needs to play for 70 minutes. Then they're going to have to look at other ways to try and dominate the French. So that would be one concern. And then I guess the other concern is the goal kicking. If, obviously, in the previous match against Tonga, Mahandre kicked five of his kicks and then Marnie kicked all three of his kicks. But obviously there was a bit of a horror show against Ireland where they missed 11 points. So that, I guess, is still a worry because it can happen. I mean, like I mentioned earlier in the week, if Marnie starts missing a few kicks quickly in quick succession after each other, then he's prone to to miss quite a lot, you know. And then they need to bring Pollard on as soon as they can. I mean, if he misses three penalties in the first half an hour, then there's not a Faf de Klerk now who will be on the bench that can take over the goal kicking. Then they're going to have to bring Pollard on. Yeah. And then Pollard's going to have to play longer than they probably anticipated him playing. So let's hope it doesn't pan out that way. Let's hope he's got his kicking boots on, because we know he can kick. You know, he's mentioned that there's a little technical adjustment that he has made, that he actually made before the Tonga match, which helped him a lot. Something in his alignment. I don't know, maybe he had a chat with his provincial coach in Gareth Wright, maybe after the struggles against Ireland. Who knows? But so it looked good against Tonga, and hopefully that continues. But elsewhere, geez, I can't really see any other weaknesses in that team. You know, it's just about like I mentioned, they must finish off their chances when they get into the red zone, the 22-meter area of the opposition. They must cash in. They can't squander all the opportunities they did against Ireland. They must make them pay. And yeah, so the very, very good team, but they're also facing a very strong team. Although I'm not sure, maybe the French team has already been named now as we're speaking, but yeah, we're waiting on that still.
We are, because you want to see if Antoine Dupont is going to play. I keep refreshing here and I can't see it just yet, so not out quite yet. The other thing, Simkiwe Abanisa has written a beautiful first take on News 24 in reaction to the squad announcement. And, you know, for him, the most eye-catching thing about the team is the sheer experience of it. 15 of the 23 named in this squad for Sunday were involved in the 2019 final, and 19 of them are World Cup winners. So, you know, we speak about playing, about backing form and, you know, finding players to fit into what looks to be a at least slightly evolved box style from 2019. But how much does experience at, you know, World Cup level, do you think, factor into selection for a game like this?
Yeah, it does. I think because it always helps if you've got players who have been tried and tested in that pressure cooker situation of a World Cup knockout match. There's little things that's maybe not tangible, but maybe intangibles that you can't see watching it on TV, but the guy who has been there would have experienced, you know, playing in that scenario, and you can't simulate that on a training field. So that's vital, and they do take that in consideration. You could see it from the press statement this morning, how much the emphasis was placed on experience. And and I also think the Springboks, historically speaking, have been a team that performs well in pressure situations, unlike maybe the cricket team. We've played in three World Cup finals and we've won all three of them. So the closer it gets to that title match, the better the Springboks actually play. I think that we can go into the match very confident, but obviously they're playing against a very strong team as well, and they're playing against 80,000 French fans, which is going to make things difficult.
Yeah, Sim's piece is really good. I mean, he says, yeah, when it came to it on Friday morning, the team announcement came with so many insurance clauses that it could well have come straight out of Old Mutual. Sim doesn't have too many concerns at all. He says, you know, the Bok selection has really covered them in all departments. You know, yes, the hooker thing could potentially be a concern if something happens to Bongi, but really everywhere else, they seem pretty well stocked. The team announcements have been coming in from all over. As we said, we're still waiting for France, which will be very, very interesting to see what happens there and to see if Dupont plays. We expect that he will feature in some way, just reading between the lines and seeing what's coming out of French media at the moment. But that's a selection we're waiting to see. And then elsewhere, geez, I mean, the teams are all looking strong. That All Blacks team for that Ireland game looks very dangerous. I mean, and Ireland as well. I mean, it's all the big guns out now. You know, Sexton's at 10. I mean, Biggar's playing 10 for Wales. All the guys are back. And geez, there are some blockbuster fixtures this weekend. The main event on Saturday, New Zealand, Ireland, and then the main event on Sunday, South Africa against France. Yes, I looked at the bookies yesterday and saw what they were up to, and that France-South Africa match is so close, it looks like a coin toss. I mean, France are favourites, but if it was like win-projected territory, it would be like 52-48. I mean, the odds are that close together. Yeah. I've been talking to friends, and you know, there's a lot of optimism around the place at the moment. And South Africans will be South Africans and say, "Nah, we'll smash them." You know, we're gonna get it done on the weekend. But what do you think, Armin? We've spoken a lot, and oh, it's tight. I mean, are you leaning one way or the other for this one?
Jeez, I'm also maybe leaning 51-49 to the French. Yeah. I just think it's going to be tough to, you know, if we're in that final quarter and the Springboks are trailing by a few points, or they're only leading by 1 or 2 points,
yeah,
it's going to be very tough, I think, for them to sneak out the win. It's going to be those 50-50 calls probably won't go in their way, in
that's
their favour.
I mean, so scared of the refereeing, you know, so scared of how that can impact the game, and you know, big moments and calls just, you know, the whole crowd just screaming at the referee, telling him to blow it one way, and, you know, you feel that pressure as a human being. The other thing, though, about the reffing that makes it interesting is that these guys are also essentially on playing for a spot, right?
Yeah, because to make the final.
Yeah, the quarterfinal referees need to blow these games well,
yeah,
so they can get a spot for the semifinals, and they need to blow that well so that they get a final, which is obviously like the kind of pinnacle for an international referee. So, I mean, there's a comfort in that almost. That as much as these refs might be swayed by home crowds, they want to get it as close to spot on as they possibly can because they want to ref a final.
Yeah, definitely. I think Ben O'Keefe is probably as good a ref as we could have asked for this match. But yeah, look at this. I don't think we've ever experienced that before. It's different when you are out there in the middle and there's 80,000 people, you know, screaming for one team. It's tough to subconsciously almost, you know, make the call that will go against the crowd. You know, it's not that the ref goes out there to try and favor the home team, but it sort of just happens. It's just naturally sometimes, you know. So South Africa's going to have to get over that hurdle. But I think they've picked the right team. You know, they've showed their attacking intent with the team that they've picked, and let's hope they can score a few tries early on, which would then, you know, all the experience that they have would enable them to have the guys that they can bring on later that can just shut the French out, because the French are also, and that crowd is also a typical crowd. If you shut them out early on in the game, they can get quiet, you know, and they can sometimes even turn against their own team. We've seen that in the past as well. So yeah, there's a lot of hope for BOK fans, I think.
Our weekend is cleared, guys. We are ready for Rugby World Cup quarterfinal action this weekend. Wales, Argentina on Saturday at 5 o'clock, followed by Ireland and New Zealand. And then on Sunday, it's England, Fiji, followed by France against South Africa. News 24 will be bringing you everything coming out of that weekend. Enjoy the rugby. It's going to be brilliant. And we'll chat again on Monday, hopefully with South Africa still a part of Rugby World Cup 2023. Cheers, all the best.